You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Now that I'm going to be turning 30 this year, it's officially that kids born in 1991 are now going to be 30 in 2021. The hangovers are starting to feel worse and worse. Is that something that you guys have seen, that as you get older, they tend to hang around longer?
Yep.
The late night water chug / like Advil popping before bed is crucial.
Yeah.
That's a big one for me. Like if I can chug some
water. I used to do that all the time. And Chris, I found out that it's like so bad for your body if you combine the Advil with the alcohol.
No, I know. I've heard that. Like, I've just heard in general that Advil is bad for your liver.
It generally fucks up your liver more.
Yeah, but it's the perfect combo.
It always works. I remember because I caught shit because I was like, guys, I have the hangover cure. I said it on this radio show, and everyone was reaching out to me like, you're destroying people's livers.
I don't. You know, my theory is that I don't get that drunk that often that I need to go to that method. So I'm not going to it every weekend. Like this is like a once a month maybe.
Here's what happened to me after 30. Outside of like the body creaking, that I was always like, that's bullshit, but it's actually true. But I can drink. I have a high tolerance. But after 30, the one thing that changed about my body was my mouth would get so dry at night. Like it was just like I had sand in my mouth, to the point that I'm waking up in the middle of the night and basically just like crawling to the refrigerator. Like I'm crawling through the Sahara Desert to wet my tongue.
There's nothing better than I'm so parched. It's 3 a.m. You go to the fridge and you just down like a full cup of water. Oh, it's the best.
During the holidays, obviously family was in quarantine. So basically all I had going on, all I had to look forward to was the walks. I have canvassed all of Killian.
That's like the beginning of quarantine. I remember me and my wife were like, you guys want to do a walk?
Walk, huh?
We would take two walks a day. And we canvass. I swear to God, I know every nook and cranny. I've seen every house in Killian. It's crazy. But, you know, it doesn't matter if it's 7:30 a.m. in the morning. My routine is, always had been, you take a little, take two Celsius for the road. It's problematic at 7:30. But the morning buzz is the best buzz.
Oh, it is.
And
then it's a sleepy buzz, though. Then it turns into a sleepy buzz real quick.
Well, and especially considering all the Zoom meetings that I had, it was not great to be sleepy throughout the day. But once you have the morning buzz, you're like, cruising. Man, that's the best buzz. Everything else just feels so empty.
Mike, I know exactly what you're talking about, the nooks and crannies of Killian. When we were kids, like, we used to do a lot of inappropriate things in those nooks and crannies where people are very hard-pressed to find.
Dog, Killian has this thing where they're super anti-sidewalks, which is like, who designed this?
I'm like gravel and then somebody's like driveway.
Dodger, like the sidewalk just ends midway. It doesn't make any sense. And I'm like there with my stroller and it's just, I have to cross busy intersections. It sucks.
Trying to think what are like the good and bad buzzes. You got me going down this rabbit hole. A golf course buzz is a good buzz.
Great buzz, because that's also early morning buzz.
Yeah, mostly.
And we found out from one of the infinalies that we did with Christine Lisi is that your liver is smaller in the morning. So that's why you feel it a little bit more in the morning, which is why, quantifiably, the morning buzz hits different.
Interesting.
Airplane buzz, solid buzz.
Airplane buzz is pretty good. I like airplane buzz.
You have so much to get there, though, on the airplane, because they always cheap you on a couple things, unless you drink before.
It's like the complete opposite. Don't you need less to get drunk in the air because of the altitude and stuff?
I don't know. I always
it's pressurized.
Or pressure. I don't know because of the altitude, but whatever. Something happens in the air where you get drunk quicker. Tony, you just said
the opposite.
Is that true? I'm pretty sure you feel it quicker in the air than you would.
Whenever I go to a plane, if I'm going to be drinking, I'll just drink beforehand, right? Because the thing is, all right, $37, you get a little thing of Black Label, like a thimble tall, and you're like, okay, well, what am I supposed to do with this?
Are you guys aware that one of the things that happens on an airplane, I believe this is scientific, is that you're more likely to cry on an airplane?
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't know the science of this. I would love for one of you guys to look this up for me, because every time I got on an airplane, I'm just sobbing in first class. But I would like for you guys, to actually tell me whether what I'm saying is scientifically so or an urban myth, because it's something that I have thought.
Are you maintaining you cry more when you're at 30,000 feet?
You're more likely to have something happen with emotions. Mike Ryan is looking at me skeptically. You've never heard this?
I've never at all. Heard that.
I've never heard
any inkling of that. I have heard what Tony and Chris were debating, whether you can actually get more drunk on an airplane, and I've chased that down. No truth to it. No truth to you being more prone to being inebriated on an airplane.
Now, I am seeing a Time article with the headline, "This is why you're prone to crying on airplanes," and I'm reading a mix of psychological factors related to the plane's altitude and a perceived loss of control can cause a person to break down emotionally.
Less interesting, though, than what I was hoping would be true, because for those of you who do not know, who know the history of ESPN, we, in doing a different show, were not the first to be doing a different show. Tony Kornheiser was the first at ESPN to be doing a totally different show. One of the things that he did was talk to his audience directly at the advent of the internet during the commercial breaks in a space that was free, like we hope this one is free. This one in the future should be free to us in a way that allows us to talk about things directly to you during this month of weirdness in a way that hasn't been available to us before. And Kornheiser was doing a show, I'm pretty sure, for a long time on ESPN Radio, in which he was talking about the specifics of somebody getting so drunk on an airplane that they climbed up on the serving cart of the flight attendant and took a giant shit. And it made me wonder, who can get so drunk on an airplane that that could possibly happen? And I was 42 years old when that happened. I had been drinking, and I didn't think I would get that drunk.
That has to have been in the 70s, right? Like you'd be in prison for the rest of your life if you did that nowadays. Also, I'm connecting the dots. Guys, I think Dan wants to do a show on an airplane, huh?
Let's do that. Hey. Private jet. Yeah.
Boom. Right. David Letterman over here.
Do me a favor, Billy. Please look
up Letterman
that.
Did that?
What are we looking up?
Yeah, you did.
Letterman did a show from an airplane?
No, he didn't.
Old ass Roy, always
all right,
there,
forget
man.
Forget it. We have no new ideas.
Would you look up for me this story about somebody taking a... I want you to read directly from that story, Billy, because there can't be a lot like it. Somebody getting so drunk that they got up on the service cart and took a giant shit.
I can buy you some time there, Billy, while you pull that up, because this reminds me, the whole Letterman show on an airplane. Have you guys read about the space race that is going on between Tom Cruise and Russia? Tom Cruise has been in talks with Elon Musk to get, and with cooperation from NASA, to have permission to film aboard the International Space Station. However, the Russian Hollywood, the movie studios over there, also have a movie in development that takes place on the ISS. So right now, we've got ourselves a good old-fashioned space race between our old rivals, Russia, and Tom Cruise.
Not America.
Not
just,
America.
Just Tom.
Just Tom Cruise.
Well, Tom is America.
I think so. I saw somebody, I think it was the creator of Rick and Morty, that says, look, at every turn, they've tried to get me to dislike this guy. Jumps on a couch. I say, amazing how much love he has for his partner. The Scientology stuff. Wow, a person that has that much care for his own religion. Admirable. Even with his most recent set freak out about COVID, if only people took things as seriously as him. And I'm just in the same boat because I love Tom Cruise. Every story that's out there to disparage him, and I must admit the Scientology documentary was probably a breaking point for many. Not for me. I still love the guy.
Well, I thought it was going to end his career. The jumping up on up and down on the couch, was the Tropic Thunder appearance the thing that resuscitated his career where people didn't recognize him as an extra in Tropic Thunder? I felt like his career was about to tank. I wanted to ask Stugat something.
I'm getting to the bottom of the story. I think Billy will find it, but there was indeed a poop that was so toxic it grounded a plane.
Okay, we need to find out. Well, I think that's a different story. I think that might be a different story. Yes,
okay.
I might
poops on a plane.
I might have to call Kornheiser. Are we allowed? Never mind. So Letterman, David Letterman, you mentioned him, and Stugat, I want to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because we had, and this happens with Stugatz all the time. Stugatz is a fountain of ideas. He is not a fountain of execution, and he is not a fountain of finishing. So I've heard him talking for months about something that now cannot happen, which is televising you jumping on a trampoline. And I think we can tell this story now because we were supposed to do it at ESPN and never got around to doing it. And now we don't even have a television partner.
Right.
So we can, is it a secret?
Well, I'm worried about giving the idea to someone at ESPN who's actually then going to do it, or perhaps someone at another media outlet getting to the idea before we have a TV partner. I'd still like to do the idea. I'll do it on Twitch. I'll do anything.
Well, we can still do it, but I thought we were going to do it while at ESPN with the resources to buy a trampoline, but not a printer, to buy a trampoline. And yes, Billy.
Well, first of all, trampolines are very dangerous, Dan, and they raise your homeowner's insurance like crazy. I don't know what it is about homeowner's insurance, but they're very anti-trampoline. And if they suspect that someone has a trampoline, they go around and they threaten to raise the rates of the insurance at your house forever. True. Also, I'm trying to get to the bottom of this Tony Kornheiser airplane poop story. Doesn't Kornheiser not fly? Is it possible that he made this up?
Oh, no. He was reading a story. He wasn't on the plane. He was reading a story, one of those wacky, weird news stories, and I feel like he was doing that on ESPN Radio. If you would do me the courtesy of putting these two things on the poll at Lebatard Show, is Tom America is one of the things that I want to put on there immediately, and I forgot what the other one was. Oh, a trampoline. Yeah. Is it? Did you know that a trampoline could raise your homeowner's insurance?
They absolutely can. Those things are dangerous. We had one. It raised my homeowner's insurance. I was always worried that my kids were going to get stuck between the trampoline and the platform, maybe break an ankle or something like that. They're not built well. I mean, we have made zero advancements
in
trampolines.
We have. Trust me. Because when I was a kid, You'd get your ankle caught in the springs. The springs would be exposed. Now they have those nets to catch you. It's like a wrestling ring proper instead of the makeshift one where all of a sudden you do a swanton bomb and your neck is hitting the corner of it and your wrist is caught and you're like Vince Carter, but in a very painful way without the athleticism.
Oh, what's the swanton bomb? Is that the thing where you like jump with somebody next to you and you send them shooting higher into the air?
No, swanton is Jeff Hardy's finisher where he goes up to the top rope and he does a flip, but it looks super cool and dangerous, extra dangerous, because at the last second he tucks his neck in.
Wow.
So it looks like just like a free fall head first and then he tucks at the last second.
Of course.
Can we take the idea and tell the people about it, or you don't want to? I've sort of hinted around already at what the idea is. I've said enough or probably too much, so we're in now.
I mean, how do you guys feel about this idea? I want to. Dan's right. There's a trampoline. I've already purchased a Velcro suit, okay? Now, the idea is to jump into a wall of Velcro. I did. I purchased a Velcro suit.
Well, this is the idea.
I don't believe you.
No, I did. I did. I purchased it.
That is such a lie.
I'll bring it in tomorrow. I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I don't believe you.
You're right. I didn't purchase one. But I'm in the process of purchasing one after I do a few cameos. What? So the idea is Velcro suits jumping off a trampoline into a wall. Like, you guys know the dartboards that have the Velcro on them, and you throw the darts, they stick to the Velcro. I jump off a trampoline into a wall that just says sports on it, and I stick to sports. I mean, is that not a good idea?
Yes, it is a great idea. Why didn't we execute it?
COVID.
No, that's not COVID. It's an idea that you've had for months. When Letterman did it, people can look it up on YouTube. It was uproariously funny, and it was viewed as groundbreaking television in the 80s because he went from a trampoline with a Velcro suit and stuck to a wall. He was not sticking to sports, but it would have been funny to do that perhaps on our last day at ESPN.
The other ideas within that show, sticking to sports, are like Monday Morning Quarterback, where you just film me. I'm in bed. I have just woken up, and I start ripping everything that happened the day before. Or whenever I'm talking football, I have to have my hand in a pot of dirt. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that. You guys ready to put this show together now that we don't have a TV partner?
Yes, we don't have a TV partner. And for those of you...
I'm in!
Your audience is my IG stories.
We need to explain to the audience some of what it is that's going on around us, because we are very excited to have a freedom that we have not had before, but it is weird. We feel a little bit untethered here.
We have freedom. I just need a TV camera.
Yes, but when you had all of the world's television cameras on the worldwide leader in sports, you should have done the thing. I'm curious because as we head down this path on this journey, I don't believe that what we're doing right now is something that has been done before, where we are an attractive free agent. I can tell you that everything was put to the side. Any inquiry, there were a lot of people interested. All of it was put to the side. And I can tell the audience, without giving any specifics, that everybody is interested in this radio show. So we've got 30 to 60 days here to figure out, because we want to get back on somewhere. We've got to see if we can find somebody, because we're not going to do it like this forever. This is going to be a special remembered period in our show's history as we make this transition during an uncomfortable time, and you, the listener, are going to be with us while we do it. We're going to update you on things. It's not going to be reports from other places. It's going to be us being able to tell you where we are with things.
Operationally speaking, crazy that we're doing it this way, but fun for the listener, because this is basically, in your lives, this is LeBron James's podcast decision, I guess, this pirate phase, which I guess I should explain why the tile on your podcast has a hint of pirate-themed aesthetic to it. We're pirate radio right now, so yeah, this will be a moment in time for us.
But explain what pirate radio is.
Pirate radio, well, Miami infamously had some of the greatest pirate radio stations, too. In high school, when you found the great underground hip-hop pirate radio station that wasn't controlled by the FCC, they had a radio tower in their backyard, and they would broadcast rogue hip-hop that had laden with curse words, but pirate radio. You can get a hold of a signal as long as you have an antenna to actually boost a signal out there.
No laws, no license.
No laws, no license. Totally illegal, but pirate style. And right now, we have a license to do this. We obviously have an RSS feed, but we don't have a major media partner, which means we had to separate from ESPN, which in itself is a major logistical problem, and start independently with the aim of siphoning off some resources of a major media partner. It's a lot easier for us to not do the pirate phase and just jump into this, but maybe disappear for a while. But we want to continue delivering on content for the audience and for ourselves too, because Sugatz loves microphones.
Yep.
This poop thing definitely happened, so much so that there's a Wikipedia entry for the incident.
This is a segment called Billy Reads, because all of these details.
How do you guys navigate quickly before you read this, Billy, pooping on a plane? And by the way, Dan, I'm assuming I'll be heading up those negotiations with all the people that want us. But how do you guys handle and navigate pooping on a plane? Because I like the hover technique in public bathrooms, but I get into that plane bathroom, there's not enough room to hover.
Remember when I almost died?
I'm sitting straight on the can.
When I almost died after a trip to Vegas because I got food poisoning, and legitimately they almost cut out all my intestines because they were just raw, like gangrene might have set in had I not gone to the hospital later. But on an airplane, I knew that if I went to the hospital in Las Vegas, I wasn't getting back home, and I didn't want any part of that. I wasn't getting back home for at least a week. So if I was going to receive hospital treatment, it was going to be in Miami. So I hop on this airplane, which now during a pandemic, it seems crazy, but I was leaking from every orifice. Okay. Poop was everywhere. I had one night, like I just spent the night in the shower because I couldn't stop the poop from leaving my butt and the vomit from leaving my mouth. I was just covered in poop and vomit, and it made my insides raw. I hopped on a plane that way, and I hate pooping in public, hate using public facilities, and I certainly hate pooping on a plane. By the 13th trip, you're just going in. I'm walking through the airplane with my ass exposed at this point, just red hot. I'm basically wiping my asshole with a newspaper at that point. There's blood every time I wipe. It was just like a horrible experience. So once you go to the bathroom 20 times on an airplane during a red eye flight from Vegas to Miami.
That's red
pretty
eye.
Much cool.
That sounds
the brown eye was a red eye.
That sounds like an unholy hell that you're describing.
Can you paint the picture a little more vividly for us about you in the bathtub? Are you fully nude? Like, are you just in boxers? Like, what are you doing?
Are you squatting? Are you sitting on the floor?
I had UM like training basketball pants that were kind of rip away, and I stopped like buttoning them up to the top at that point. I was just a broken, defeated man with 103 fever.
Remember when people used to dress up for flights? Like, you used to wear khakis and like a nice shirt. Now it's like a pajama party for everybody. What happened with air flying decor? It feels like we've lost this. It feels like no one dresses up and respects the flights anymore, Dan. I don't think decor was right. I think it was
back in the day, flights were like a big deal. It was like attending a party. You would drink, you could smoke cigarettes. It was like a who's who. It was like a social gathering.
Wild.
Yes, at 30,000 feet in a tube, I used to light up heaters.
Light up heaters.
A pressurized tube. Yes, I watch Mad Men, and I'm like, everyone gets so dressed up to get liquored up and smoke cigarettes on a Pan Am flight. Pan Am was like the coolest.
I know you guys are shocked. Like, I see it. I see it in your faces. You're shocked. I am telling you, there was nothing like that first heater on the plane to Vegas. I mean, oh my God.
All right, but hold on. Billy, what was the question you asked? Because I'm falling behind here. I want to get back. We haven't talked to anybody about what their airplane techniques are, because I'm trying to think about it, and I don't know if I've ever gone to the bathroom, if I've ever shit on an airplane. I don't know that I've ever done that. I just find that bathroom really unpleasant, and I've never been. I'm also not the person who can't go outside of their home, or somebody who doesn't like using facilities that aren't at home. But I don't. I dislike the airplane bathroom so much. The plastic, the smell, the septic tank that seems unsafe, the general fear I have.
The size of it.
The general fear I have that I'm going to be sucked through the tube at some point and fly to my death covered in raw sewage.
That flusher, though, come on. That's a top quality, top-notch flusher.
Oh, it's a power flusher.
It's like.
Yes. But what was your question, Billy? I'm sorry.
I don't remember.
Okay, neither do I.
United Airlines flight 976, though, if you want that.
I do want that, but I want to answer the questions of how you guys feel about airplane shitting.
Well, that's odd that you've never taken a shit on a plane, man. I mean, cross-country flight?
Considering how you do vacation and you're ingesting all sorts of food and booze, it's amazing that you've never shat on a plane.
I don't think I've ever not shat on a plane. Like, I just like, I don't like being in my seat for that long. I like to get up and, like, I'm the guy that I'll go to the bathroom twice, even if I don't really have to go. I just like to get up, walk down the aisle.
Work
like,
the aisle.
People see what they're watching. Yeah. I like a good walk down the aisle in an airplane. I feel very important.
Yeah. Work the aisle?
Oh, it's like, you never know who you're going to be in an airplane, Dan. I mean,
what do you mean? What are you doing working an aisle?
Getting chummy, you know, talking sport. Depends what I'm doing in my life. There was a time where, you know, I'd go up to first class. I'd try to chummy up to first class. That's when I was selling muni bonds, and I was looking for.
If anyone needs a drink or anything, then you call.
Yeah, I was looking for Murray. That's it. Asking people what they're watching, you know, who do they like this weekend? You work the aisle, Dan.
I love going back to your seat because you're usually walking behind, and you can see everyone's laptop, what they're working on, what movies they're watching. Love it.
Roy, would you be kind enough, please, to tell us all about your airplane bathroom shitting experiences, please?
Is he frozen or is that just me?
He's frozen.
I think he's frozen.
And it's a different type of frozen. It's not the frozen he usually is.
Okay. Billy, go ahead and start reading. Go ahead and start reading this story about the guy.
Roy is no longer frozen.
Roy, tell us about you shitting on airplanes.
He's frozen again.
Yeah, he looks frozen.
Oh, for the love of God.
All right. We've already lost the ESPN resources, and somehow Roy's personal Wi-Fi has gotten worse.
Roy, I'm going to ask you for a third time. Tell us about you shitting on an airplane.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, my internet is shitty right now.
We got that.
No pun intended.
I've never done that on an airplane. I try to avoid doing that in public places as much as possible. So I haven't done that on
that. I would have guessed. So let's get to Billy reading here. I'm very excited about this. Let's go, Billy. What do you got there? How long is this story? Because I want every last detail.
It's long enough that I'm going to mess up while I'm reading it, Dan. Ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Now, if you want to look this up on your own, you just go to Wikipedia and you search United Airlines Flight 976. Okay. United Airlines Flight 976 was a regularly scheduled flight from Ministro Pistarini International Airport in Buenos Aires to John F. Kennedy Airport in New York City on October 19th to 20th. So it seems like it was a red-eye flight.
What year? I'm sorry. What year? 1995. My bad. Okay.
Upon landing, one passenger, Gerard Finneran, I don't know, was arrested by the FBI and charged with interfering with a flight crew and threatening a flight attendant. During the flight, Gerard, a Wall Street investment banker, had been refused further alcoholic beverages when cabin crew determined he was intoxicated. After they thwarted his attempt to pour himself more, Finneran threatened one flight attendant with violence and attacked another one. He then went into the first class compartment, which was also carrying Portuguese President Mario Suarez and Argentinian Foreign Minister Guido de Tella and their security details. There, he climbed atop a drinks cart and defecated, using linen napkins to wipe himself, and later tracked and smeared his feces around the cabin. Food service was canceled due to the unsanitary conditions, and the crew sprayed perfume all over the cabin instead to suppress the smell of the feces. The pilots tried to divert Luis Munoz Marin International Airport in San Juan, Puerto Rico, but were refused since the presence of foreign dignitaries on board created a security risk. Gerard had then been calmed down and returned to his seat. His attorneys claimed he had been suffering from a severe case of traveler's diarrhea and had been prevented from using the first-class restroom closest to his seat just outside the section by the security detail. He pleaded guilty and was fined $5,000 with 2 years probation. He had also agreed to perform community service and pay $48,000 to reimburse United's cleanup costs for the other passengers.
I believe his story that he was denied entry to the bathroom. And if you are on an airplane, what are you going to do? What can you do? I also believe he was incredibly drunk, but
you got to make a stink.
Oh, Lord.
What? That came with us?
We got the sound? We got the sound!
Yes!
We got the sound! Come get it, ESPN! The machine doesn't work right.
Unplug it and blow it.
So thank you, Billy, for all of those details.
Good reading, by the way, Bill.
Yeah. If you're curious as to more details, you know how Wikipedia has like links that you could click? It's like highlighted in blue, and then you click it, and then it takes you somewhere else. One of the things that was highlighted in blue, and I don't know why I'm telling you this, because it's going to result in me reading you from this entry also. Highlighted in blue, traveler's diarrhea has an entry on Wikipedia.
Did you have that, Mike? Do you believe that you had traveler's diarrhea?
No, I had food poisoning that tore up my intestines.
What is the difference between food poisoning that tears up your intestines and what you're about to read right now, Billy, on traveler's diarrhea?
TD.
Beat me to it.
Let's see what you have.
I don't get diarrhea on airplanes. I get mad constipated because I'm afraid of farting around people and then smelling it and being like, this guy just farted.
Afraid of farting?
I know, we're cut differently. Yeah.
Loud. Let it rip, man.
Yeah,
but it smells people can trace back the smell.
No, Chris, you got to really sink into your cushion.
Chris.
And just let it go. Thank you, Tony. You really sink into the cushion.
I love it. You look around, you see if anyone catches a whiff.
No.
But Chris, here's what I'm telling you, Chris, sink into the cushion.
Yeah. No.
And then fart down into the cushion and then stand up and the whole plane will smell.
Oh, no. Yeah. No. And it's been trapped there for 3 hours and it's just getting stuck there in the warmth of your nether regions. And then you let it go and it wafts. Chris, what is the matter with you, Chris?
The key is to have headphones on. People don't think someone with headphones on just farted. It's a thing. Look it up.
Chris, you are alleging. And there are any, what are the top three things,
totally
Chris?
Made that up.
Well, this is a thing that with Chris, there are top three things. He did totally make that up. There's no way that is true. But Chris is somebody that the audience thinks is just capable of egregious misbehavior. So Chris, the shopping cart return is something that people have, like your top three offenses or what? Because I think you're going to climb in here with being loud farting airplane guy. I don't think anybody likes loud farting airplane guy.
No, it's not loud. That's the beauty of it. Nobody hears it. So you can have a loud fart and nobody hears it. So
you don't hear because you have headphones on.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but I understand what he's saying. Like the plane noises, the sounds, all that stuff. You have options on a plane. Okay, you can let it fly, or if you want max amount of people to get the max amount of that bad foul smell, you sink into your seat and let it sit there and then get up like 3 minutes later.
God.
Best place to fart. Heavy metal concert. Best place to fart. All time. That or a sporting event, right?
Chris, I want to get to the bottom. I didn't mean to do that. I want to understand what it is that you are doing when you think that an airplane is so loud that any fart of any sound will not be noticed by the person next to you. Like,
Dan, you're off on that. Like, I'm obviously like a ridiculously loud fart you might be able to hear, but I am telling you for a fact, you can let out a standard just little and nobody's
here,
right, dude. Do you realize how loud these engines are?
Yeah.
Like right now, somebody is listening to us in a plane right now. Hey, you fart right now.
You can't fart on command.
They just farted. Did anyone hear you?
I didn't hear.
No,
it.
No, they didn't. That's what I'm saying,
Chris. Especially on landing, on the way down, right? Ears are clogged a bit, right? Everything smell. You can't smell.
What are you defining? I want to get to the bottom of the working definition of this. What are you defining as a standard fart? Yes, Roy.
I mean, there's a simple solution for this. Just go to the bathroom and fart. You know,
Roy.
Don't disturb anybody.
You're taking the fun out of the game, Roy.
What if the fasten seatbelt sign is illuminated?
But then you're shit out of luck.
Oh,
hey!
I mean, Dan, just a standard fart. Like, I'm telling you, like, practice, do it next time. I know you're like, you know, you're Dan Le Batard. Like, if you're a celebrity, you can't really be heard farting on a plane. Like, I get you not farting.
They hear him in first class, though, Chris, I think.
You're taking the fun out of the game, is what Stugan said. And the game, for those of you not taking inventory of what the game is sinking deeply into his cushion. Firing off a standard garden variety fart into the muffled cushion.
Yeah.
and then keeping it there warm like a mother bird with its egg.
I don't do that. I let it breathe. I like lift my cheek up a little bit, let that thing.
That's your game. This is my game. I mean, I did it to my wife just last week.
Here's another game, Stu Gatz, that you play sometimes. It's a dangerous game where you're like, is this a fart or more?
No.
Now that game I don't play.
It's the most nerve-wracking game I've ever played.
Terrible game. Wait, Billy, what are you laughing about?
Dangerous game.
That is the most dangerous game. A fart, put that on the poll, Guillermo. Is this a fart or more the most dangerous game?
And Billy, occasionally you get selfish. You had a couple that came out as farts. You go in for one last one, and then all of a sudden it's all in your pants.
I imagine that ESP Gang really regrets losing the show.
They're going to miss us.